If you turn again to that reading, at least that chapter, 1 Samuel 17, the event, the details of which are recorded for us in 1 Samuel 17, is one of the greatest ever to take place in both ancient and modern history, both inside the Bible times and outside Bible times. The event in question is the thrilling overthrow of a dreaded adversary to God's ancient people, the Jews, by a stripling of a lad. The giant's name is well known to many people, Goliath, and the young lad's name is equally, if not better, known to most people, David. The details of the event are recorded for us in this chapter, and we'll be giving consideration to it now from David's perspective. The reason for that, of course, is obvious. In our studies in 1 Samuel, we're coming now, this last couple of weeks, to look at the life of David. Let me just fill you in the background with regard to the story. The Philistines are the aggressors. They're coming down now to attack the Hebrews, Israel. Saul and his army is engaging them in the valley of Elah. David's father has got three sons, or David has got three brothers, older brothers, that are fighting the battle. Eliab, Aminadab, and Shammah. And Jesse's concerned for them. And he says to David, I want you to go and take this foodstuff to your brothers. So it's a few miles journey for David to go. He set out early that day, and he made his way into the camp, and he witnessed Goliath with all his mouthings and blasphemies and profanities against the Lord and against the armies of Israel. And David was concerned about that. He sees Goliath in all his splendor, try to get a sense of the occasion. This man, 9.5 feet. Now, Saul himself was quite tall, but nowhere near that height. The Bible says he was head and shoulders above every other man in Israel. He was a giant of a man himself by Israel standards. But this man, Goliath, is unique. 9.5 feet. His armor, as we've already seen, weighing a massive weight. And he had an armor bearer. And he was defying Israel. It was going on for quite a period of time. And it was that scene into which David came whenever he was bringing the foodstuff to his family. He was not happy with the way his people were being terrorized and God being blasphemed. And he eventually, as we've already noticed, finds himself in a position where he confronts Goliath and kills him. What a story it is. I suppose it's true to say that any boy or girl who comes to Sunday school, he or she will not be there very long before they come across the story of David slaying Goliath. Let's look at it for a while today. I want you to notice, first of all, the hostility that he witnessed. Goliath, let's turn to verse 8. Goliath was putting fear into the hearts of the people of Israel. There would be skirmishes. There wasn't outright conflict, though the two armies were squaring up to each other. In all probability, there were skirmishes because we read of the children of Israel fighting and then withdrawing. But this man, so tall was he, so brazen, he says, this is what we're going to do. He was dictating the terms. He says, you pick a champion from your army. I'm the champion of mine. Let the issue be settled by the two of us fighting. Whoever wins, then they will be the conquering army. We will represent each army. And there was nobody to take him on. So there was a lot of intimidation here. Verse 8, he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. Now, he scared these people. His very appearance, his armaments, his height, his stature, his mouthings to the people, it really scared the children of Israel. And this young shepherd boy was eyeing all of this, and he was noticing not only the shoutings of Goliath, but he was noticing the fear and the terror of his people. Now, there are three things to notice about this hostility. First of all, how intimidating it was. People were scared. Oh, they were scared that they were frozen and paralyzed with fear. And their king among them, Saul. And that again made David wonder, why is there nobody here taking this challenge up? And he began to ask this question, that question, the other question of this person, that person, the other person. And that's when his brothers felt that he was being a bit of an upstart. But not only was this hostility intimidating, it was insulting. It insulted the armies of Israel. Notice verse 10. The Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. So if the army was insulted, so was the king, because he was the leader of the army, King Saul. Now, we've noticed in the past, when we were studying the life of Saul, whatever Saul was that turned out tragic in his life, and we saw something of that, yet it could never be said that Saul was a coward. He was a brave man. But in this particular instance, even he was dilatory. Even he was afraid. And he was being held in disdain and insulted. And David himself was insulted. If you go down to the chapter, verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. David was taking a lot of abuse as well. So it wasn't a rosy scene that greeted this young fella on his errand of love for his brothers and support. But not only was this hostility insulting and intimidating, it was incessant. Notice verse 16. This was going on for quite a period of time. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Can you imagine it? Almost 6 weeks, day after day. Get a champion out of your ranks and take me on. And the children of Israel were just being worn out with it all. What a situation to come to. Ladies and gentlemen, this can happen to us. Not that a 9.5-foot giant is going to suddenly come on the scene. But problems of those dimensions, difficulties of those proportions. We do not know what a day will bring forth, the Bible says. Neither did David, as he came along with his carriage, with all of the stuff to bring to his brothers from his father Jesse. Didn't know what was going to greet him that day and what the outcome of it was going to be. So in order for you and I to be able to cope with situations like that, we have got to understand that we need a close walk with God and that we need to seek time with God day by day. Notice in the second place, not only the hostility that he witnessed, but the inquiry that he made. We have that in verses 26, right down to verse 31. Now, as you appreciate, the chapter was long. We left a lot of it out in our reading. But whenever David eyed the situation, he says, is there no incentive for any of the soldiers to do anything here? What's an offer? Not so much that he was looking at. He was more concerned for the glory of God and for the welfare of the children of Israel. But he said, is there anything to be done for a champion on our side? Now, this young lad was just a stranger to the battle. He's just a shepherd boy. He wasn't even one of the soldiers. And so some of the people. Now, it's very interesting to notice the responses to this inquiry that he made. The soldiers told him, anybody that will defeat this champion, Saul will enrich him. Saul will give him his daughter to be his wife, and Saul will allow his family to be free in Israel. What an offer. To become the king's son-in-law, to have a king's daughter to be wife, and yet nobody was taking this on. And so David went to another, he went to another, and they told him the same. And then notice what Eliab said to him, verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." The elder brother lost it. He lost his cool. He became angry with the young fella because he was showing such an interest in the battle. But what an answer David gave to him in verse 29. "What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for me to be asking these questions when I see all of you terrorized by this arrogant man, and not a one of you willing to go out to battle? When I see the fear in the armies of Israel, when I realize what will happen if the Philistines overrun us, is there not a cause?" What a response. And then whenever the rest of the people heard this, you see, David was saying, "What will be done for the man that will kill this giant? Is there nobody going to stand up to this man?" And the soldiers heard what was going on, and they got word back to the king. And so the king sent for David. And we have the record of that in verse 31. "When the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him." That's where his inquiry brought him, right into the situation where he was going to be the one to champion the cause of Israel. You know, we need to be careful what inquiries we make about certain things. I can't help but smile with this. We're involved in presbytery activities. I'm involved in the Whitfield College of the Bible, the Forward Movement Committee. And you learn not to, on occasions, make too many good suggestions, because the chairman is liable to say, "That's very good. Would you see to that?" And you realize you've just walked yourself into a job. And this is what David was doing. He was making all of these inquiries. And he found himself in the situation that he was going to be the one to take on the giant. But he was up for it. He was roaring to get going. He just could not brook the situation of God's name being blasphemed by that heathen giant that was terrorizing the people. Something had to be done. And do it he would, in the will of the Lord. Which brings me to the third matter I want you to see here. We've seen the hostility that he witnessed and the inquiry that he made. Notice the bravery that he showed. We have that in his meeting with Saul from verse 32 right down to verse 37. Notice how he started off verse 32. "David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. My servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" I wonder what Saul was thinking. Did he say, "Oh, there's a case of zeal, but not according to knowledge? What would this stripling of a fellow do? Only a shepherd? He's not even one of the military." But the interesting thing is that David was so quick to assure his king that he himself would represent the cause of Israel. He says, "Don't worry about this heathen giant. I'll take this giant on and fight him." Very assuring. I want you to notice two things about this bravery. First of all, the caution that it met with. Notice verse 33. "Saul said to David, 'Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth.'" Now, on the face of it, that was fair counsel, fair comment. But while David was a youth, David was a youth who knew God and knew that God was leading him in this very conflict. So we need to be careful on occasions that whenever we are seeking to give advice, give it in the right spirit and weigh up everything. Saul was just not aware of all the capabilities of this man. He would soon know, as we'll notice in a moment. But at any rate, Saul on this occasion, quite understandably, was cautioning the young man in his zeal. But notice not only the caution that this bravery met with, but the confidence that it stemmed from. Why was David so sure? He says, I'll go out and fight this Philistine. Why was he so ready to take him on? Well, we have the answer in verse 34 onward. David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. Just imagine that. This little lamb was in the mouth of this devouring beast. And David was able to prize the mouth open in some way and rescue the little lamb and slay the beast. Verse 35, I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing you have defied the armies of the living God. He's going further now. He's not only saying, I'm going out to fight this giant, but I'm going to topple him. So confident. Because of his past exploits, but more especially because of God's empowerment in his life. Read that verse 37 again. Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. David's confidence was based in faith in Almighty God. That's why he was so assuring. That's why he was willing to take on this giant if he was given permission at the highest level, the king of Israel. You know, there's a tremendous argument here, friend, whenever you and I come up against our problems and difficulties. And the argument simply is, just look back at God's deliverances for you in your individual life in the past. And reason from that, if God has helped me in the past, he'll help me in the future. That's what David's reasoning was. Now, there's a difference between a lion and a bear, and David getting prepared to rescue that little lamb. Difference between them and this man of war. Yet David said, the Lord had helped me with the lion and the bear. He says he'd help me against this guy. And if you and I are having problems now, think of the times that God helped us out of tight spots in the days that are gone past, and say, Lord, you've done it before. You'll do it again. The bravery that he displayed. And then notice in the fourth place, the singularity that he possessed. This was a unique character, this young fella. And Saul saw it. Now, the decision was made. It was time to go out and take on Goliath. But Saul looked at the young fella. He says, he can't go out and take Goliath on just as he is. So Saul said, I've got armor here. Now, I don't think for one minute that it was the armor that Saul himself wore, at least the basic parts of it, but far too big for David. Even as it was, whatever parts of the armor that he had, maybe in his tent, he rigged David out. Even then, David said, I can't go. I haven't proved this. Notice what we read in verse 38. Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword, that Saul's sword, upon his armor, and he is said to go. He was ready to go, but then he says, I can't go. I haven't proved this. I have not been out in a battle with this regalia on me. I don't know how I would react. I don't feel comfortable. This doesn't fit. I have not proved them in the past. And I can't run the risk of proving them now and taking on this giant. So he declined the resources. You see, there's a very interesting matter there. And that is, it's not wise for us to try to use the methods of other people and their strategies in God's work if they don't fit us. That doesn't mean we should criticize the way other people do things that are different from ourselves. We shouldn't criticize that. Saul's armor was all right for Saul, but it wasn't all right for David. And there may be some method and approach that may be all right for other people in their circumstances, and they're comfortable with that, but not for us. We should just accept what fits us and our own way of doing things. And I'm talking, of course, not about matters of compromise. I'm not talking about doing things that are contrary to the Scripture, but I'm talking about different people have different methods of doing things within the scriptural frameworks. We shouldn't try to impose our way on them, and we shouldn't try to adopt theirs for us. Every man has his own gift and his own way of doing things in the Lord's work. So notice not only the resources he declined, but notice the instruments he employed. How amazing. Verse 40. And he took a staff in his hand, the shepherd's staff. And he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. Try to picture the scene. I can't use this armor. It's just not me. It doesn't fit. It's cumbersome. I'll not be able to move. And Saul, I'm sure, is wondering, what's this young fellow going to do? So he leaves Saul's quarters. He walks down to the brook. He takes the stones. He puts them in the scrip. He has the staff in his hand and the sling in the other. And he's going out to meet the giant that way. Think of it, friend. What are the armies of Israel thinking as they see this young lad that's not even out of his teens, a stripling he's been called, going out to meet the 9.5-footer with all his armor upon him, with all his massive weaponry, and David with a few stones and a sling. What a sight. What confidence. He goes to the giant, and whenever the giant sees him, he holds him in derision. Verse 41, the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. Verse 43, the Philistine said, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. You can well imagine the oaths and the obscenities and curses that there was there. But oh, David was calm. Verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. Oh dear, what boldness, what confidence, what faith for that young fellow to stand face to face with that giant and tell him what he was going to do with him. That brings me to the last thing I want you to notice. Seeing the hostility that David met with that day, and the inquiry he made, and the bravery he showed, and the singularity he possessed. He was eschewing Saul's armor and just went out in the way that he normally would to fight the wild beasts, more or less. But notice the victory he obtained. have that in verses 48, right down to where we finished our reading, verse 53. David says, I'm going to take your head off. The host of Israel this day will be feeding for the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And at the end of verse 46, he says, here's the reason, here's the motive, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And in verse 49 onward, David puts his hand in a scrip in his bag, puts a stone in the sling, is expert in its usage. And the Lord directs that stone to hit Goliath in the forehead. As Billy Sunday said, that he hit Goliath in the coca between the lamps, and his lights went out. The giant fell to the earth. Imagine it. A stone from a shepherd boy against a mighty warrior found its mark, and it toppled the giant. Now, old John McNeill was a very well-known Scottish evangelist and minister. And one of these critics that doesn't believe in the miraculous, that what God can do, was arguing with McNeill and said, surely a man of your intelligence can't accept that a stone from a sling into the forehead of this great giant was enough to topple him. McNeill said, sir, if his head was as soft as yours, a snowball would have done the job. Good answer for him. With God in this, God can make giants to fall. See the awesomeness of the victory. A young boy, no armor. The giant clad in armor. The young boy, no armor bearer. The giant preceded by an armor bearer. The young boy with just a sling and a stone and a staff. The mighty giant with all the weaponry at his disposal. The young fella, no experience in the field of military activity. Goliath, experienced from his youth up. The one young fella of ordinary size, the giant 9.5 feet tall. How awesome the victory that God gave that day. But notice not only the awesomeness of it, notice the comprehensiveness of it. Very important to notice this, because in verse 52 and 53, not only was the giant defeated, but the Philistine army was routed. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until I come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shaharim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. What booty they got! As well as having peace and quiet for the foreseeable future. Comprehensive victory that God gave through the young fella. But here's something so important and encouraging to us all. How instructive the victory. And I say so for this reason. Two reasons. First of all, no matter what proportions of the problems that confront you. And maybe I'm speaking to somebody now in this room, and you have nothing but problems besetting you as you walk out through this building. Even if they're of Goliath proportions, the Lord can give you the solution and the victory. I say in the second place, no matter how huge the task that God has given you to do, you might say, I'm only a David, this task is of Goliath dimensions. I want to say it to you, God can give you the victory as well. Let that be to your encouragement. If you're confronted by some Goliath, don't shrink. If God's giving you this to do, he will provide for you, enable you to perform the work he wants you to do. What a day that was for David. I'm sure when he realized he was in the situation, he was not only inquiring, but he was actually in it, he remembered the words of God to Asher in Deuteronomy. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. As David left his house that morning to bring the foodstuff to his brothers, could he possibly have had any inclination that by the time the day was over, he was going to be a national hero? Could he have any inclination that there was a giant to be taken on? So, from this, it's so important. And as we know the life of David from the Psalms particularly, we know that he was a devoted young man, devoted to God, a spiritual-minded young man. We've seen it in his speaking to Saul and in his speaking to Goliath when he brought God into the whole situation. And I'm sure that before David made his way along the road that led to the Valley of Elah that morning, he had committed himself and his brothers and the armies of Israel and his king and his family and all Israel into the care of the Lord, so that whenever the situation arose, he was ready for it spiritually. And that's why, brethren and sisters, before we go out on our day's work, that we should spend some time with God, committing ourselves to the Lord, saying, Lord, I don't know what the day holds. Don't know what trap I may fall into. Don't know what situation may confront me, but I'm committing it all to Thee. I don't know what things will be like by the time I go to bed tonight, but Lord, I'm committing myself to Thee now, that You'll be with me and guide me and take care of me. And if we do that, then no matter what Goliath presents himself to us, we'll have peace in our minds that this has come to us in the will of God, and God is in control of the situation. What a victory. What a story. Life for this young man would never be the same again, even though he would not be king for some years yet. Yet, he's a man that won the affections, and rightly so, of all of Israel, for his daring deed and his boldness and courage. This is the man that God said is after my heart.